But I do want to talk about parenting. I want to talk about moms. I want to talk about slowing down. Specifically, I want to talk about the fact that we need to not blink or you're going to miss your kids growing up. Today, my son Josh, he was here in first service running camera four over there. It's his 20th birthday. And I thought, 20 years? How did that happen? Because it seems like the last 20 years have gone really fast. So if we as parents, if we don't make the most of every opportunity, we're going to blink and miss it. So I thought, man, is there a Mother's Day message? Did the Apostle Paul tell the church in Ephesus chapter 5 a Mother's Day message? And he did. So open to Ephesus chapter 5. And you might, Ephesians chapter 5. And you might think, wait a second. Mother's Day is about 100 years old. I know, but this is a stretch, so bear with me. Ephesians 5, and you might say, that's not a Mother's Day portion of Scripture. Well, we're going to read to verse 25. How come verse 26 starts with all those great verses on marriage? Maybe it is a Mother's Day message, and I am brilliant. Verse 15, be careful how you live. Don't live like fools. Live like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that's going to ruin your life. This is good mom advice right here, isn't it? Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord in your hearts. And give thanks for everything to the God and Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think this was great advice 2,000 years ago, and I think it's great advice today. I'm glad the Holy Spirit asked the Apostle Paul to jot that down, because I think we need to be careful. Did you notice those first two words in verse 15? Be careful. Boy, that's a mom phrase if I've ever heard one. How many times has your mom or any mom or grandma said, be careful? That's a mom thing to say. Be careful. You ever heard dad be like, hey, be careful. No, dads don't say that. That's a mom thing. That's a Mother's Day thing. Be careful. Moms love to say, I don't know how many times my mom told me when I was growing up, be careful. I am almost 46 years old. And when we visit my parents out in Virginia, like let's say we're cooking dinner and we need something. I'm like, well, I'll run up to the store and I'll grab it. So she'll hear my keys. I'm a grown man. She'll, well, be careful. And you know me and my humility. I've never sarcastically said, oh, be careful going to the store. Thanks, Mom, because I wasn't going to be careful. I was going to drive in reverse from the passenger seat with my eyes closed. But since you said be careful, I got you, Mom. I don't know what kind of humor you have with your mom, but my mom doesn't think that's funny. She's envisioning me now driving with my eyes closed in reverse from the passenger seat. So moms say these ridiculous things, be careful, because they love us. They care for us, which I think is why the Apostle Paul wrote this down. He said, be careful. I almost gave Paul the mom voice. Be careful, uncommon church, because he loves us. The Holy Spirit wants what's best for us. So he's reminding our church on Mother's Day, be careful. I don't really remember every time I obeyed my mom and I was careful. But I remember the few times where I disobeyed and I ignored my mom and I was not careful. And I remember those moments in life. Like, you know, the day I got my driver's license when I was 16. I mean, like, the driver's license was still warm from the laminating machine. And we got home and I was going out with friends. I said, can I take the car? And yes. But, you know, my mom said, but be careful. My mom doesn't talk like that, by the way. So when she watches this video, she's going to call me. Like, do I talk like that? No, mama. But my mom said, be careful. And you probably can tell what's coming up next. I took that car at 16 years old, having my license for all of 1 hour, and picked up a girl from the neighborhood and went up to meet with some friends and rolled my parents' car all the way down an embankment into a creek, and we landed upside down. I wasn't careful. Had to climb out through all the broken glass. It was amazing. That's why moms say is be careful, is because sometimes we're not, right? So you know you're a real mom when you tell other people's kids to be careful. And you know you're an older real mom when you tell adults to be careful. Like my mom will tell other people, like, hey, you better be careful to strangers, because it's just in a mom's heart to not let us be not careful and to be stupid. The Apostle Paul literally said in verse 15, don't be a fool. He said, don't be an idiot. Be careful. And Paul is then going to go on to give us three little nuggets, and we'll read them here again in just a minute. But basically, if you read between the lines, the Apostle Paul is saying, be careful. Don't be an idiot. Do these three things, because there's a right way and a wrong way to do things. So you're going into a season of your life, and I want to make sure you're careful to do the right thing. So let's go back to verse 16. He said, make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. This translation, the New Living, says, make the most of the opportunity. But other translations, and in the Greek, it says, make the most of the time that God has ordained for you. See, there's three words for time that are used in the Greek New Testament. The first is ora, which is hour. It's literally 1 hour on your watch. But that's not the word that was used for time. The next is chrona, which obviously where we get chronological. And that's more of a season of time or many hours. But again, referring to like time on a watch. And the third word for time is kairos. And it's more of a moment. It's more of a season. And in the New Testament, when it's written, it's usually referring to a season that God has ordained for you. A kairos moment is a God-ordained, God-directed moment or season that you're walking into. So what the Apostle Paul was telling the church was, be careful, because you need to make the most of this specific God-ordained season that you're in right now. This is not an accident. And how you approach the next few months of your life, it's a choice that we make, that we step forward by faith and not fear. That the life that we're living was not by accident. Be alert. Pay attention. Don't snooze through the next few minutes of your life. Don't blink or you'll miss it. That's, I tell you, raising my kids, I've got three kids. My son Josh is in the middle. Today is his 20th birthday. No more teen years. We were having breakfast this morning early, and I'm like, there's no more teen years for him. And my youngest, my baby, only has 2 more years of teen left. They go so fast that we have to be careful or we're going to miss these divine moments. They don't last long, so you have to soak up every moment that we're in. Here's the thing about raising our kids and not blinking when we're in these moments. It goes so fast, but sometimes dads, we like to get where we're going. Like, for instance, dad's driving on vacation. We load up the car. We pack the kids in the car. It's like, we're going to the beach, or we're going to grandma's, or we're going to the mountain. We're going to get to the lake, and all we want to do is get there. But moms are fun moms, and it's like, we don't just want to enjoy the destination. Honey, we're going to enjoy the journey. So I've got games in the car and snacks in the car and trivia in the car, and we'll have a little mom side trip in the car. Dads love the side trip, don't we? Because moms are less worried about the destination and want to make the best of the journey. So we should be like moms. On Mother's Day, in honor of moms, let's live our lives, not for some big final moment, but let's make the most and cherish every little insignificant moment along the way. Because it's easy to do that when it's fun. It's easy to make the most of a situation when everything is good and everything is fun, but we're in a season of awful, in a worldwide pandemic. But the Apostle Paul said, make the most of this season that you're in. He literally said in verse 16, make the most of this evil season that we're in. Yeah. Not every kairos moment is this amazing, super fun thing. Sometimes we go through moments, we go through kairos, God-ordained moments that are awful, or it's not a God-ordained moment, but God will turn things that were meant for evil for good. God will take something the devil meant to bring death, and he'll bring life, but we have to be patient and work with him, as we're seeing in this pandemic. But this whole season we've been in the last 2 months makes me think about 20 years ago, September 11th, 2001. The entire world came to a screeching halt, especially Americans. We were shocked. We were saddened. We felt naked and afraid that our liberties and our freedom and our safety could have been stripped away in a moment. And as parents, we thought, you know, if terrorists can kill 3,000 people in the blink of an eye, I'm not guaranteed tomorrow. I'm not guaranteed that something won't happen at my office building or in my airplane, or like, I'm not guaranteed tomorrow. So we, as parents, I think we collectively were like, man, what is our lives? And we've lived differently the last 20 years. And I think what we've walked through in the last few weeks is going to cause us to live differently in the next season of our lives. James put it this way. James chapter 4 and verse 14, he said, how do you know what your life is going to be like tomorrow? Your life is like a morning fog. It's here for a little while, and then it's gone. It's like your life, it's like a vapor, like a mist. It's here, and then it's gone. So when 9/11 happened 20 years ago, we that were parents were like, well, I want to hold on to my kids a little tighter. I don't want to blink and miss these moments. I'm going to treasure every moment because I'm not sure what tomorrow holds. I'm not even guaranteed to have a tomorrow. So after 9/11, parents started going in an hour early to work so they could leave an hour early so they could catch the Little League game. Parents made sure that they would not miss the dance recital or the spelling bee or the art competition. Parents made sure they were going to be there for those moments in our children's lives. When the school sent us an email with the kids' grades, we actually started clicking the link and checking up on our kids' grades. Mind blown. Why? Because we love our kids. Because we want to have these moments with our kids matter and have them count. That the term that we've made fun of for 20 years, helicopter parent, which some of you absolutely are, that term didn't exist when I was a kid. That's been the last 20 years that we've helicoptered over our children. But I specifically remember when we took my daughter Joy, went to Oral Roberts University in Tulsa 5 years ago, and then my son Josh went to Liberty University 2 years ago. When you sit in the parents' freshman orientation, there's some dean of some made-up thing about students, you know, being affiliated into the school, and they sit all the parents down and have a meeting with your freshman parents, and they go, listen, for 18 years, you have helicoptered your kids. And that's got them to this point. But from here, you're going to have to trust us to take it from here. You can't helicopter your kids while they're in college. You have to kick them out of the nest and see if they've learned to fly when they were with you, which for a parent is like disheartening. And they would get up and say things like, hey, let your kids fail, because that's how we as people learn to succeed, is through our failures. So let your kids fail. And you're sitting there in this room full of a couple of hundred other freshman parents, like tears streaming down your face. And it's like, that's it. It's over. Like, I'm giving you thousands of dollars to tell me that my kid's childhood is over. I blinked and I missed it. And you're like, now they're not babies anymore. And I'm not going to forget when I was at ORU. It made me want to like go get Joy from her freshman orientation, get all of her bags, and be like, that's it, we're going to TCC, get in the car, you're coming home. Like, I didn't want to drive away and have her standing there, tears streaming down her face with the excitement as we drove away, and I wept bitterly all down the turnpike from Oklahoma. But that's part of being a parent, is those moments where we say goodbye. We want our kids to grow up, but then there's these moments where we don't ever want them to grow up. There's a poem we read every Mother's Day. It was written by Irma Bombeck, and the earliest that I could find it published was in Newsday in 1969. A young mother had written into Newsday and said, Irma, I know you've written before about the empty nesting syndrome and that lonely period that I'm going to have after my children are grown and gone, but right now I am in the middle of laundry and muddy boots. The baby is teething. My boys are fighting. My husband just called and said I should eat dinner without him. So Irma, would you lay it on me one more time? So her response was this. One day, you're going to shout, why don't you grow up, act your age? And they will. Or, you guys go outside, find something to do, and don't slam the door. And they won't. You'll straighten up their bedrooms all neat and tidy. Their toys will be displayed on the shelf. The hangers will be in the closet. The stuffed animals caged. And you're going to say, I want this room to stay like this. And it will. You'll prepare the perfect dinner with a salad that hasn't had all the olives picked out and a cake without traces of fingerprints running through the icing. And you'll say, this is a meal for company, but you'll eat it alone. You'll say, I want complete privacy while I am on this phone call. No dancing around, no pantomiming your emergency, no demolition crew in the next room. I want silence. Do you hear me? And you'll have it. No more plastic tablecloths stained with spaghetti sauce. No more anxious nights under the vaporizer tent. No more dandelion bouquets. No more iron-on patches or wet knotted shoestrings. No more tight snow boots you can't get off or missing mittens or ponytails that have fallen out. Moms, imagine a lipstick with a point. No babysitters. No extra loads of laundry because you'll only do washing once a week. No more parent meetings, no more carpools, no more Christmas presents made out of toothpicks and pasted glue. No more wet oatmeal kisses. No more tooth fairy. No more giggles in the dark. No more bruised knees to kiss and heal. Only a voice crying, "Why don't you grow up?" And the silence saying, "I did." I apologize if I got you good. I got Vicky pretty good. I could hear her from here. I got Joan in the first service. Every year I get my wife. We want our kids to grow up. We want that big final destination, but we can't blink or we'll miss all the little moments in the middle. And what the Apostle Paul is teaching us in Ephesians 5 is make the most of every moment, every opportunity. And as parents and grandparents, it's with our kids especially that we have to pay special attention to raising our kids. The funny thing is this, you might say, man, it's so hard to raise a Christian kid in an unchristian world. Yeah, the Apostle Paul said the world was wicked. He said these times are evil. So as a Christian, make the most of every moment. Don't shrink back. Be bold. The light in you is greater than the darkness that you face. In fact, think about light. Light doesn't get hurt by darkness. Light destroys darkness and pushes it back. So examine the season of life that you're in right now and the one that you're going into, this Kairos moment. What opportunities has God actually given you? Maybe you should pray and ask God to give you eyes to see his will for your life and for your family. So for example, we're always challenging you and pushing you to share your faith wherever you go, the grocery store, the dog park, or at work. And you might think, share my faith at work? Everybody I work with is heathens. They hate God. They're all going to hell in a handbasket. They hate God, and I could never share my faith at my job. Meanwhile, somebody else at our church is like, God, if I could just have a job. I haven't worked in 7 weeks. Give me a job, any job. But Lord, especially a job where everybody hates you so I could be a light in the darkness. See, it's all how you see the opportunity. It's all how your perspective is of this Kairos moment. Yeah, we're going to go into evil times, but you can go into evil times in this season with faith, with hope, with power, with a kingdom mindset, a kingdom perspective. Because every season that you face has ups and downs. The problem is sometimes we allow the setbacks in a season to set us back. And what's happened, when we face setbacks in life or difficult seasons, we should not surrender the high ground. Here, let me clarify it this way. Here's an example. A single person would say, I'm so lonely. I'd like to serve God. I'd like to serve on a dream team. And you know what? If God would just give me a spouse, then we could serve the Lord together. Yeah, I won't join a dream team until God answers my prayer for a spouse. Meanwhile, another single person is over here like, huh, I wonder if I could help out at the church some more. I've got extra time because I'm single. I mean, maybe I could serve on another dream team. See, it's all in your perspective. The young family with the young children, they would say, oh, the kids. These kids are so demanding. You want me to serve on a dream team? Are you kidding? I'm lucky if I can get to church and not be lazy and watch the live stream, let alone serve. And then there's another young family with kids, elementary age, and they go to Brittany and they go, hey, Britt, we had this idea. Could we put on Bible stories for the you kids, like for the toddlers, and our family could act out the Bible stories? I think it would be something really good for our family to do together. It would show my kids how to serve. It would show my kids how to be in the ministry. I want to teach my kids that saved people serve people, so of course we're going to find a place to serve. Or maybe a middle-aged person, you know, mom or dad, super professional. They're like, you have no idea the responsibilities on me. Everybody's pushing me at work, the expectations from my family. I'm stretched so thin right now, I have nothing left to give. But then you have this other middle-aged person that's like, you know what? I feel like I'm at the top of my game. I feel like I'm at the peak of my strength. And if I fire on all cylinders, if I order my priorities just right, I think I could make a significant difference in my community by serving in the church right now. Good. Take a retired couple. They're like, oh, we've been a part of the church for so many years, and we're just going to let the younger generation serve. I've served all my time in the church. Man, I served my nickel. You know, like, I'm not serving in the church no more. And there's another older couple that's like, hey, babe, we're retired. We've got free time. We don't need the money because we've got a fixed retirement income. I wonder what God could do in our golden years for the kingdom of God. I wonder what nation we could take the gospel to. So every season has ups and downs. A lot of it is your perspective and what Kairos moment and how God's preparing you to face the next season. You have been ordained by God for this moment. You're prepared for this. So a lot of it is our response is be careful. Don't be thoughtless. Look, what's the next verse? Verse 17. Don't be thoughtless, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. It's thoughtless to not figure out what God wants you to do. It's thoughtless to think, oh, my life is just like a plastic bag drifting through the wind. No, baby, you're a firework. You have a purpose for your life. You are a son and a daughter of the Most High God. You are heaven's royalty. You are a kingdom prophet and priest over your home. You were born on purpose with a purpose. You're a world changer. Come on, somebody. So don't act like life is just going to come at you and whatever be, will just flow. No, you are a man of God, a woman of God. And that's why Jesus taught us to pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who is in heaven, holy is your name. Let your kingdom come. What do we pray? Lord, let your will be done in my life. As it is in heaven, let it be released on the earth. What is God's will for your life? Have you ever asked God what his will for your life is? Have you ever knelt down by your bed and prayed, God, what is your will for my life? I'm in this Kairos moment. It might be a good moment. It might be a bad season. But ask the Lord how you want to respond. I'll tell you what it is for parents. For parents, the Kairos moment you have for 18 years is to raise your kids to know the Lord, to be passionate for the Lord. Think about it this way. For 18 years, you are the Bible school dean of a live-in Bible college. They live on your church campus at your home, and it's your opportunity. You're the Bible school professor raising up the next generation of gospel preachers. Be like, well, my kid's not a preacher. We're raising him. He's going to be a mechanic or a truck driver, or a teacher, or a doctor, a lawyer. Yeah, you're raising up a gospel preacher to the truck stop, a gospel preacher to the classroom. You're raising up gospel preachers for the next generation. You're the dean of an 18-year Bible college. You're depositing faith to leave a legacy of faith in your kids and grandkids. How are we doing on time? Ha! We're going to crash land this plane. Put your seatbelts on. We're going into verse 18 in a hurry. Don't be drunk with wine. Why? Because it'll ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul's like, don't get drunk, ever. Why do people drink? Like, I don't drink. I'm not trying to be, like, a jerk. I'm just saying I don't drink. Why? Because I don't want to get drunk, and I don't need anything else to medicate my life. Most people drink to self-medicate. They're not coping well with the situation. They're not coping with the reality. They're not coping with the finances. They're not coping. So I'm just trying to soothe the situation. I'm trying to soothe my feelings of loneliness or my feelings of rejection or my feelings of depression. Or maybe you're a fun drunk and forget soothing. I just want to have a little more fun. I'm that kind of drunk. I'm going to have a little more exhilaration. That's why I drink. So what we're using an outside stimulus to fix something on the inside of our lives. And the problem is when we introduce artificial stimulants, it often leads to addiction. It leads to excess. It lowers our inhibitions and usually causes some form of reckless living. So they are ultimately destructive when we were trying to stimulate ourselves with, it doesn't have to be alcohol. I mean, this was written 2,000 years ago. It could be alcohol or smoking weed or looking at porn or overeating or whatever. It brings temporary relief to this temporary pressure, but it ends up causing long-term damage to our soul. So Paul is saying, don't stimulate your life with temporary things like drinking or smoking weed or looking at porn or sleeping around. He's saying, I have a better alternative. Instead of getting drunk, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Get drunk on the Holy Ghost. Because often we end up getting tempted towards more artificial stimulant because we're not living a life filled with the Spirit. So we should be getting our basic soul, internal needs met through our relationship with God, through the Holy Spirit, but instead we seek it elsewhere, and what happens is it creates this vacuum in our soul and this emptiness and this loneliness. So we need to be filled with the Spirit of God, not once, but every single day. Let the Holy Spirit saturate our hearts with His power, with His presence, with His love, with Himself. We're just saying, God, I just want more of You. Don't You want more of God? Whoa, when a pastor asks a question in church, and I'll bet everybody online was like, yes, I want more of God. Nobody in here wants more of God, but don't judge them. I'm doing that for you. So when we're not filled with the Spirit, we end up creating this vulnerability and then more temptation. So I was talking to a young person in my youth group, this was 20 years ago, and internet pornography was like a new thing. And he's like, hey, Pastor Brad, man, I'm really struggling with looking at, you know, pornography on the internet. And I go, well, when was the last time you prayed in tongues? He goes, oh, man, I feel so guilty. I couldn't. I'm like, well, why don't we do it this way? Why don't you repent of your sin, ask Jesus to wash you and cleanse you, and then pray in the Holy Spirit every day. And if you ever feel tempted, just start praying in tongues, because it's going to be really hard to pray in tongues and look at porn at the same time. He got back to me. He goes, hey, that worked. High five. The funny thing is, I think you should pray in tongues every day. Jude chapter 1 and verse 20 says, when we pray in the Spirit, it builds our faith. It's like doing spiritual push-ups. So sometimes we feel so weak spiritually, and I'm telling you, it's because you're not praying in tongues. If you do your eat your Wheaties, do your push-ups, you're going to feel stronger spiritually. You just have to overcome that hurdle. And some people are like, well, I'm a little rusty in the whole praying in tongues thing. I'm kind of like a lawnmower. You're getting started for the spring. It's kind of like, bap, 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 bap. Okay, you need to get it going. Get it flowing a little bit there. Well, I prayed in tongues at one time at Men of Iron, you know, 5 years ago. I prayed in tongues at youth camp 20 years ago. But I think that guy tricked me into, you know, who stole my Honda, Shah Bahama. Listen, you got to pray in the Spirit. It stirs up the gift of the Holy Spirit again and again and again. And here's where sometimes people are like, what do you mean again? I did that at that special thing we had. Yeah, that happened for the apostles too. You ever read the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit was poured out in the upper room and the 120 were filled with the Holy Spirit and prayed in other tongues? Flip over one page to Acts chapter 4. It says they were having a prayer meeting and the place where they were praying was shaken and they all began to pray in other tongues. Well, why did the apostles have to get filled one page later if they got filled the page before? Because we're kind of like oil lamps. We leak and we burn up what we got. So you need to be filled every single day. You're the prophet, priest, and king of your home. Fill the oil lamps of your soul with the Holy Spirit. You need more God in your life. This is good advice from the Apostle Paul. We need to strengthen ourselves. All right, we got to finish. We got to crash land. Verses 19 and 20, what do you do after you have been wise? What do you do after you've made decisions to serve the Lord in the season that He's putting you in? What do you do after you stop sinning and drinking and getting drunk and trying to self-medicate? What do you do after you pray in the Holy Spirit? Verse 19, sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves with the church, and also make that music to the Lord in your heart, a private time of worship. Give thanks to the Lord God for everything. You need to worship. You need to stop treating worship as optional. You need to stop treating worship as this extra song thing we do at church. Worship services are kind of like game show prizes. Must be present to win. And when we go into worship, man, we have to lift our hearts and lift our hands and lift our voices. This is part of parenting. You want to raise up the next generation of worshipers. So many times I see moms pressing in worship and dads thinking about their fantasy football team. And then you wonder why your kids backslid in college. Oh, I guess that was a bit much for Mother's Day. I'll come after you guys at Father's Day. In honor of Mother's Day, let's be like mom. Let's make a choice to be good moms and to make the most of every moment that God gives us. To not blink or we're going to miss the moment that we're in right now. To not complain about what could be, but just make the best out of the situation that we're in right now. That we as parents, let's not blink and miss our kids growing up. It reminded me, so I wrote it down, this verse that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26. He said, what do you benefit if you gain the whole world, but you lose your own soul? And then Jesus was kind of a savage. He said, is anything worth more than your soul? I think the same is true when you're raising kids. We, young families, we can have success at work, success in the career. We make more money. We get the car we always wanted. We get the house we always wanted. We get to actually pay to afford to do all the hobbies we always wanted and take the trips we wanted to take. But your kids and grandkids go to hell. Like, was it worth it? Jesus says, is anything worth more than your own soul? And for moms, I know for Josie, is anything worth more than the soul of your children? Ask any mom, she'll say no. Raising those kids to know the Lord, to love the Lord, to serve the Lord, it's the most important thing as parents that we get to do. This verse reminds me of a verse that I read 20 minutes ago from James. I read it earlier. It said, your life is like a morning fog, like the dew in the morning. It's here for a moment, and then it's gone. I remind you that Israel is a desert climate. It gets very, very hot in the day, but very cold at night. So what happens when you have that gigantic temperature shift is you get a lot of dew, a lot of mist, a lot of fog in the morning. But by 8:01, the sun is beating down and drying everything up. So when James said your whole life, your 80 or 90, your 100 years on the earth, it's like a mist, it's like a vapor. It's here and then it's gone. Don't put off living for the Lord for another moment, because you might only have this moment. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. Your life is a vapor and then it's gone. The most important thing you can do is surrender your life to Jesus. Repent of your sin, ask him to forgive you, and then live for the Lord Jesus. Hop up on your feet. I want to pray for you. Man, I double dog dare you. I don't know where you're at. I don't know if you're watching it online. I don't know where you are in your walk with God. I don't know if you believe or if you're like this close and your heart is pounding out of your chest right now to get right with God. Why don't we all pray? Let's start with that. Close your eyes and bow your head. Let's just pray together. Father, we come here this morning because of this great advice that the Apostle Paul gave us, that we want to be careful to not miss these moments. In fact, we want to make the most of this season that we're in right now. For some, it's a good season. For others, it's a bad season. But we want to be kingdom-minded, that the will of God would be released through our lives. So, Lord, I pray on behalf of our church family that we would honor you in these moments, that we would live for you in these moments, that we would take this good mom advice and not give in to sin and not give in to getting drunk or high or sleeping with people we're not married to or overeating or whatever it is that we're trying to do what the world says is okay, or trying to self-medicate from the outside, but on the inside, we're leaving a vacuum in our soul. Lord, I pray that today would be our day of salvation. I pray that today would be the day that we really make mom happy and we live for you. You know, if you're in here or you're watching online, why don't you just go ahead and leave your head bowed and eye closed. I just want to talk to you a little bit. I want to lead you in a prayer to repent. Turn your back on sin. Turn your back on the way you've been living and start turning and walking after Jesus. Ask him to forgive you and ask him to give you that life that is stronger than this death and darkness that we sometimes face. And that you would allow the Lord to be your hope for the season that you're in. So I want to lead you in a prayer. In fact, I'll lead everybody in a prayer. If you believe this in your heart, why don't we all pray this out loud? Say, dear Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. I repent and I turn to you to be the Lord of my life, the Savior of my soul. Forgive me, Lord, for being selfish, trying to self-medicate. Lord, you are the answer for my life. So put your light in me and help me to be a light in the darkness. In Jesus' name. Hey, if you prayed that prayer for the first time or maybe the first time in a long time, I'm so proud of you for taking that step from death to life and really surrendering your life to the Lord Jesus. I'm so proud of you. If you're in church this morning on campus, and while we continue with the service, in the seat back in front of you, I know it's 6 feet away, but there's that black Connect card. I want you to pull that out and fill that out and drop it in the offering bucket when you leave. If you're watching online, I want you to go to uncommonchurch.tv/connect, and there's a form on there that says, I have decided to follow Jesus, or whether you're in the room or online, if you want to do it all digitally, text the word Jesus, J-E-S-U-S, to 817-405-2244. You're going to get an automated response, a little form to fill out. But what that does is when you fill out that form and send it in, our care pastor, Josh, he's going to get a buzz on the app. And it's going to say, hey, this person got right with Jesus today for the first time or the first time in a long time. I want you to follow up with them so we can begin to pray for you and love on you and encourage you in your walk with God.